This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. I want to thank Dave Davies for hosting while I was on vacation last week. I picked a good day to return because we have a great performance by Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, who are music partners and life partners. They perform original songs inspired by bluegrass, folk, classic country, and hymns. Although they work as a duo, they perform and record under the name Gillian Welch. Rawlings has one album under the name The Dave Rawlings Machine. There's a new Gillian Welch album called The Harrow and the Harvest. Many listeners were introduced to Welch by her performances on the Grammy Award-winning soundtrack O Brother, Where Art Thou. Her music is steeped in Southern tradition, but she was born in New York. Her family moved to L.A. when she was 3 when her parents got a job writing music for The Carol Burnett Show. Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings now live in Nashville. She sings and plays guitar and banjo. He sings and plays lead guitar. Gillian Welch, Dave Rawlings, welcome to Fresh Air. Thank you so much for coming. I'd like you to start by playing the song The Way It Goes from your new album, The Harrow and the Harvest. Gillian, would you introduce it for us?
Yeah, this is, definitely the fastest song on the record. perhaps the only song with real tempo. And it goes like this. Johnson by the farm, put a needle in her arm. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. And her brother laid her down in the cold Kentucky ground. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby clothes. That's the way that it ends. Though there was a time when he and I were friends. Some of the brightest ones of all. Dark ones go to bed with good whiskey in their hands. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. Now Billy Joe's back in the tank. Tell Musso, I'll tell Frank. That's the way. Did he throw her down a well? Did she leave him for that swell? That's the way that it goes. That's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby clothes. That's the way that it ends. Well, there was a time when all of us were friends. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. Did you miss my gentle touch? Did I hurt you very much? That's the way that it goes, that's the way. Little baby clothes.
Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings performing at NPR West. Their song, The Way It Goes, from the new Gillian Welch album, The Harrow and the Harvest. That really sounded great. You know, listening to that song, of course, you have to think, gee, do they know a lot of drug addicts? Do you write songs that are biographical or songs that are just like based on characters or genres? Like the song that we just heard, what inspired the song?
That song, the first verse just kind of popped out of my mouth, kind of in the same way that Miss Ohio, another song of ours, just kind of tumbled out of my mouth, almost like a nursery rhyme, really kind of on that edge between stuff that you understand and stuff you don't understand. I'm not sure I completely understand what everybody's buying little baby clothes means, you know. But
right, yeah.
I mean, as much as
I'm laughing
else,
because I've been trying to, you know, I wanted to know. I was thinking of asking you that, and I gave it a meaning in my head.
It has a meaning in my head as well. It has to do with, you know, the passage of time, the circle of life. As you mentioned, there's a lot of
the expectations that sometimes get defeated.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff on this record about dealing with unfulfilled expectations, and when things don't exactly go as you had thought or wished they would, and the true kind of adult nature of dealing with that.
Now, even a line like, when they lay me down to rest, leave a pistol in my vest. Now, I know that you really aren't going to ask for a pistol when you die, but it strikes me as a real genre line.
I feel like that line is kind of typical of when Dave and I will use cowboy language or folk language just to let people know, you know, there's an understood toughness in that line to me.
Well,
you understand how this person went through life, you know.
And I also, I definitely feel in when I think about that line and where it came from or what it meant personally to me, you know, I don't know that that line expresses a sentiment that I disagree with. I mean, it had to, you know, in my mind, that had to do with not knowing what's coming. And I thought that that was that's a sort of elegant way to put, you don't know what's coming after the grave. And you might want to be prepared in one way or another.
Oh, it also had to do with...
Yeah.
It also had to do with whether or not you knew that our narrator, or I'll say me, whatever, had gone through life with a hidden pistol in their coat. Now you do.
Nice. You nice. Know? Okay. That's good. Now, you said something when you were profiled in The New Yorker a few years ago that I really love, that when you started performing, you said, everything about the way I look says, pay no attention to me. I love
that. That's right.
Yeah, I love that. But when you're on stage, you have to be saying in some way, pay attention to me. This is important. You're going to like it. This is good. Did you have to find a stage presence for yourself?
Yeah, I'm sure that I did. The main thing was finding some kind of a confidence that this voice that I had interest in, which is the what I'll call sort of the quiet yet stoic voice, the very quiet yet very strong voice, that I developed confidence, you know, that people would want to hear that and that it was worth paying attention to, because I've never been the kind of person who would get up and wave my arms and scream and shout and say, hey, listen to this, you know. I'm sort of very easily trampled out in the, you know, loud and busy world.
Yeah, in the busking world.
Yeah.
on the street with the passerbys. But, you know, I mean, I think when Gillian plays on stage, there's a kind of inscrutability when it's very difficult to read exactly what you're thinking. And I know that at least for my part, that's something that holds my attention. I think that holds a lot of people's attention. If someone seems to have some mystery in their delivery and in their thoughts, then I think that's part of what I would consider your stage persona in mm-hmm. this world, in this moment.
You've brought your instruments with you. Can I ask you to do a song from the new album? And this one is Hard Times. Gillian, would you introduce it? And I'll ask you to do an excerpt of the song because we want to squeeze in a bunch of songs. So that's going to mean doing excerpts.
Sure.
As opposed to whole versions.
So we won't give you the culmination, the big wrap up of this one, but you know, this is another. We've kind of half jokingly said that this record is 10 different kinds of sad, and there being 10 songs on it.
So this is sadness number 6.
This is sadness number 6, kind of dealing with loss, a particular kind of loss when you lose something you didn't even realize you were losing and not realizing the value of it until it's gone. So here you go. Hard times ain't gonna rule my mind no more.
Nice. That's Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings doing Hard Times from the new Gillian Welch album, The Harrow and the Harvest. Thanks so much for playing that for us. Is there a story behind the song about like what inspired the images in it?
I got to think back. That's probably the second oldest song on the record. I mean, I started writing that one at the end of working on Dave's record, the Dave Rawlings Machine Friend of a Friend record, and Levon Helm was going to be coming in to play some drums on the record. So I was thinking about Levon, and it's always been very inspiring for me to think about other musicians and trying to write songs that they would like. And so I know that song got started me thinking, well, what kind of song would Levon like when he came in? And that's how it started.
So are you almost writing it as if it would be a song that he could sing?
Almost, yeah. I mean, I've kind of done this before. That's Orphan Girl got started with a very similar train of thought. I was driving and I was thinking, what kind of song would Ralph Stanley like? Like, that was me trying to write a song with nothing in it that would be a deal breaker for Ralph Stanley to, like, you know what I mean? That it was that sort of legitimate.
I'm glad you brought up that song because I love that song. Would you mind if I asked you to do a chorus of that song?
We can do a little bit of that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very short system. Let's do just a little verse into the chorus. Yeah.
I am an orphan on God's highway, but I share my troubles while you go my way. I am no mother, no father, no sister.
That's Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings performing their song Orphan Girl. You said you wrote that with Ralph Stanley in mind, like you wouldn't want to disappoint him. you wrote that song. And Gillian, you're not an orphan, but you were adopted and you know very little about your birth parents. And I'm thinking, you know, since you write in so many different styles and voices, like for different characters and stuff, does having a mystery within your own life and lacking information about something essential about your origins make it more inviting in a way to write in different voices and different styles and leave yourself open to different identities as the singer of the song?
Yeah, I do think that the abiding mystery of my origins has definitely had a profound effect upon my writing. I do think there is that little, at least when you're talking about blood and genealogy, you know, there is always that thing in the back of my mind where I don't really know who I am. And it may make it a little easier for me to shift around in my narrative voice. I'm not really sure exactly, but I do recognize that it's had a pretty deep effect upon my writing.
You do have a song that's very autobiographical called No One Knows My Name.
Yeah, that probably has the most factual information about, you know, about my being adopted, just because it has, you know, my mother was a girl of 17 and my dad was passing through doing things a man will do when my mother was just a girl of 17. So that's, you know, that's, but and that's about all I know, really, you know, that's about the long and short of what I know about them.
Can I ask you to do an excerpt of your song By the Mark, which is about, you know, the nails and the cross, and it sounds like it could be a very old song, but it's actually one of your originals. Maybe you want to say a few words about writing it before you play some of it?
That was it's a song from our first record, and it was written in a very productive time, right when Dave and I had moved to Nashville, and we're just, you know, Tennessee and Nashville is really kind of the cradle of our creative life, and at that time we were in the first flush of really just immersing ourselves in it and discovering that we had great passion for this type of music. You know, we were really finding our feet. And I was listening to a lot of gospel music at the time, both like black and white and string band and rural and urban. And I remember thinking, well, I bet I could write one of those. And we had so few songs when we moved to Nashville. I moved there with three songs. And so each song was like a new food group, you know. Really, it was just, we're just hungry for, you know, so we thought, oh, we don't have any gospel songs. Let's write a gospel song. And so this is the one we wrote. This is By the Mark.
So that's a great song written by my guests Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, and they're performing for us today and talking about their music. And I mean, you could have told me that was written, like, you know, decades ago, and I'd say, of course. But but you wrote it recently, and your harmonies are really interesting too. You know, I know that you've been very inspired by the Stanley Brothers and Bill Monroe and the Leuven Brothers. And those are all like male harmony groups, and you're, you know, a man and a woman singing harmony together. Can you talk about working out your harmonies for songs like the one we just heard?
Yeah, well, first of all, you've touched upon something. We are incredibly lucky that coming out of the kind of rural American duet tradition, which is mostly, you know, two men, we're so lucky.
Generally brothers, actually.
Generally brothers, yeah. That we are necessarily different than that. You know, we're never going to sound, nothing we do is ever going to sound like the Stanley Brothers or the Blue Sky Boys. It's necessarily going to be different because we've got a woman singing lead and then a man singing baritone.
Yeah, most of those groups all had the melody was on the bottom and the harmony was sung above. And so when we started emulating that music, we by necessity and by definition had to sort of figure out a slightly different way to do it. And I know when we worked out the harmonies to that song, you know, the song had been written and it was very plain, and it seemed like it was going to be a little too plain to entertain.
Wow. It could be our new bumper sticker.
So I remember we sat down and I thought, well, I'd like to sing something that was like a call and response, because there were a lot of that music that had that sort of, you know, call and response vocal in it. And so we sat and we, you know, worked it out. And I know, you know, to this day, we'll sit down and I'll try to sing through pretty much any note you can think of for any part of it and look for things that I think are interesting or that, you know, that tickle my ear. And then once I found a little part that I'm committed to, sort of build on either side. And,
yeah. Happily, we're incredibly like-minded with this stuff. We'll be working out a part, and Dave's ear and his mind is so facile that he will run through many, many note choices, And he'll hit one, and it'll have that special kind of little wiggle and little buzz. And both of us will look up and say, okay, that one, there's one. You know, there's one keeper note. And then we'll just keep going, and he'll construct the part. You know, I know a number of singers who call Dave their hands down favorite harmony singer, and
red right now. I'm so glad this is
so
radio.
Embarrassed. Yeah,
Gillian, is there a note that you can think of, like a passage or a note in that song or another song that gives you one of those like that's it kind of moments in terms of his harmony?
The entrance to the third verse.
Do you want an example?
Oh, here.
Yes.
We don't need to. We don't need to get up. But so, do you want to show him what a normal person would do?
I don't know. It's all normal to me.
What note? What word are we listening for in this line?
It's the entrance. It's on Calvary
it's
Mountain.
It's the first syllable of.
Yeah, it's that thing.
So over the chords, that's a bit odd. It's like a suspension. Not many people would open a verse that way.
So we're listening to the entrance right now.
Yes.
Okay.
On Calvary Mountain, where they made him suffer so, all my sin was paid for a long, long time ago.
So there you go. The really funny thing was some choir, I think it was a Methodist choir, sent us a tape of them doing the song, and of course, all the baritone, the whole baritone section, however many there were, 8-10 guys, had to sing that note, you know.
So you're so well suited to each other, you know, in terms of performance and songwriting. How did you find each other?
We met at an audition up at Berklee College of Music in Boston, which is really a jazz school. But there was one country group, sort of class, group, ensemble in the whole school, and we were both auditioning to get into it, and that's where we met. We both got in. Dave was in as a lead guitar telly picker, and I got in as a singer, and that's when we met.
And did you know that you would end up being a duo? I mean, because you were in a larger context.
No, we then as a subset of those people who knew and liked country music. Then within that group, there was a smaller group who knew and liked bluegrass and old-time music. And then we all sort of banded together. There were maybe five or six of us, and we would pick bluegrass. And
then a number of those folks all moved to Nashville, and we would all get together and sort of sit in a circle of, you know, one of these sort of bluegrass circles of 10 or 12 friends and play songs. And at some moment, we might have tried to work out a song or something, just playing the two of us, and we recognized that we liked that feeling of trying to create something that was a whole picture with just two instruments and two voices. And that came partially because of a love of, you know, a lot of duet music that we from the 30s that we both were fond of and listening to a ton of at the moment.
There's duet music is so funny because you're both very free. You're very free vocally to have the harmony move through all these interesting notes. There's a lot of room to move around, and you find in the Brother Team stuff a broader palette of harmony singing. You know, not just a straight third above, just a lot of interesting stuff. So there's this great freedom, and at the same time, it's some of the most highly arranged music on the planet because you're trying to convey like this complete band sound with only two instruments. It's wildly different than a solo performer where it's sort of understood that it's not supposed to be a complete sound.
You know, I'd like you to do another song. I should mention to our listeners that Gillian and Dave have brought their instruments. I'd like you to do another song from the new album, The Harrow and the Harvest. And this is a song called Dark Turn of Mind. Now, earlier you said that you thought of the album of 10 different kinds of sad. And this is one of those 10 kinds of sad. I think it's a terrific song. Gillian, would you introduce it for us? Tell us about writing it.
Yeah, this... This song got started, in the early winter of last year, 2010, right when most of these songs were getting written. And
it started out more as a, the title was there. I know that Gillian had written the title, Dark Turn of Mind, and the music setting was more of like almost like a country.
A little more country, yeah.
It was a major sort of happy-sounding song in its way when it got written. And
but still with the same sort of...
Yeah, the lyrical
lonesome message, yeah.
So at some point, I think I got a hold of it and reset the music to sort of try to make it match the sentiment. And then we worked on the lyric for a while. It actually came together pretty quickly. I think this was maybe a week or a week and a half, which mm-hmm. for us is light speed.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Great. Would you play it for us?
Yeah, sure. This is Dark Turn of Mind.
Take me and love me if you want me. Don't ever treat me unkind. 'Cause had that trouble already, and it left me with a dark turn of mind. I see the bones in the river, and I feel
That's Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings performing Dark Turn of Mind, which is on their new album, The Harrow and the Harvest. That's one of my favorite songs on the album. That's such a good song. And
thank you.
Gillian, Dave, did you come up with that phrase, Dark Turn of Mind? Because it sounds like it should be an old phrase that I'm familiar with. I can't say that I am. Is that a phrase you came up with?
You know, I had the same reaction. When it occurred to me, I thought, oh, Dark Turn of Mind. And I immediately got on the computer and tried to reference it and was shocked at the lack of entries that came up. You know, the same exact thing happened when I came up with Dream a Highway. I was like, oh, that already exists.
Yeah,
that
we
must
were sure there
exist.
Was a song by
so
Dream
same
a Highway
thing.
Written.
Straight to the reference sources, you know, and then realize, oh, no, that doesn't exist. So I think someone has said that before me, but I couldn't really tell you where.
And apparently neither could Google.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I also really like the line, some girls are bright as the morning, some have a dark turn of mind. As you've said, your songs and the new album are 10 kinds of sad. There's 10 songs on them. Is it easier to write sad songs than happier songs for you both?
It is for me, I think. That's just when I sit down and kind of find myself in that frame of mind where I'm likely to make something up, it's the slower, sadder songs that seem to come more readily for me.
Now, Dave, when you're doing songs with Gillian for your own album,
yes,
are they as necessarily sad as Gillian's are likely to be?
No, I'm
no, no, they're not.
I mean, and it's funny because, you know, here's an example of maybe I have a little more of a mercurial vocal style and delivery, and you know, I do still stick to the story songs a lot, but I could, you know. I play some happier songs, I think.
So, Dave, I'm going to ask you and Gillian to perform one of the songs from your album, which is under the name Dave Rawlings Machine. And you want to do the song Sweet Tooth, which why don't you describe the song and how it fits into the emotional spectrum?
this is a rambling narrative about a sweet tooth. I think the song speaks for itself, or at least the part that you'll hear will speak for itself, and you'll have to maybe tune in later or find the song elsewhere for the exciting conclusion. But we'll give you a little bit of it.
Okay.
Sweet tooth is crying shame. Sweet tooth is crying shame. Sweet tooth. Times a day just to hear the wind blowing on a windy day. Now Cairo is a mean old town. Cairo is a mean old town. Cairo is a mean old town. And that's what my Uncle John told me when the sweet tooth got him down. And it's a slow ride on Santa Fe. It's a slow ride on Santa Fe. It's a slow ride on Santa Fe. Crawling like a bear underneath the chair, looking for my sweet tooth. And there's a poor little bean in the dining car. There's a poor little bean in the dining car. There's a poor little bean in the dining car. Said it's so hard to wait sitting on a plate. I wish I was a candy bar. Said little brother to Sister Sue. Oh, I got a sweet tooth on the tooth fairy, and I'm working on a cavity. When I want to be a honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I want to be a honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I want honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I want to be a honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I want to be a honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I want to be a honey, but I got a sweet tooth. I ask you once, I won't ask you twice. Come and be my sugar daddy, I'll treat you nice.
That's part of it.
That was great. So that's a song from the Dave Rawlings Machine album, A Friend of a Friend, a song co-written, yes, by by Dave and Gillian Welch.
And actually our friend Morgan Nagler, okay, who happened to be staying at our house at that time. And so we wrote that one, the three of us.
And it's great. It starts off like it's going to be a really nice little kid's song about sweets, and you get kind of deeper and deeper into cravings and addictions of various sorts in there.
Yeah.
But it sounds upbeat.
Yes. Tra-la-la-la-la. Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Before we end, you know, what I often do at the end of interviews with performers is ask them to surprise us with a song that we might not think that they like or that isn't typical for them, and to perform it and tell us why they love it. Would you be up for doing that?
Yeah, sure. You want us to just pick the song?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do White Rabbit. How's that?
That's surprising.
Okay.
Very surprising. And why are you doing it?
We discovered one day accidentally in soundcheck, we were doing our sound at this club, and the reverb was kind of broken, or the wrong setting was on, and I started singing, and I was just drenched in reverb, and it immediately put me in mind of Grace Slick, and I started singing White Rabbit, and all the guys, Dave and our sound man, everyone just died. So we've actually done it live a couple times. We did it we just finished a tour with the Buffalo Springfield reunion tour, and we actually played it.
Yeah, we pulled it out a couple times.
Yeah.
So we'll give you a little gem, a little shot of that here.
Gillian Welch, Dave Rawlings, it's been so much fun to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for performing for us and talking with us. And thanks to the engineers at NPR West, where you are right now. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Terry. We had a good time, and thanks for having us on the show.
Yes, thank you.
If you want to hear the entire version of the Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, as recorded for Fresh Air by Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, it's available as a download on iTunes. The new Gillian Welch album is called The Harrow and the Harvest. We're streaming one song from it this week, the song The Way It Goes, on nprmusic.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Thanks to engineers Leo Delagula and Marcia Caldwell at NPR West, where Welch and Rawlings performed and spoke to us. Fresh Air's administrative assistant is Dorothy Farabee. Melody Kramer is our associate producer for online media. John Sheehan directed today's show. I'm Terry Gross.